Well, good morning again. It is a beautiful day to be here with the Lord in His house, worshiping Him. I will ask that you turn in His book to the 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23. For the past few weeks, and we only have one more week after this, we've been going through this psalm verse by verse, looking at all the truth that David has in it. And the honest thing to say is, we have not looked at all the truth. The Bible is endlessly deep. We, however, have pulled out much of what is in there, applying it to our lives, and we continue that series this morning in Psalm 23 as we look at verse 5. Psalm 23, verse 5, but let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for this beautiful morning that you have given. What a sunny day, a warm day, a day where, as we step outside and look up to the sky and see the blue sky with the white clouds and the sun on our face, that we are so reminded of all the wonderful blessings that you give us. One of those blessings, Lord, is this nation that you have given us to live in, the freest nation, the nation where we can come to church and gather and worship and praise your name very publicly, very openly, very boldly. We recognize, Lord, that that is not the case for most of the world. And it is today that we do remember and lift up in prayer all of those who have gone before us, laying down their lives in defense of this blessing that you have bestowed. So we remember them as we come to worship you. We do that through song and prayer, and now as we turn to your word, we ask, Lord, that you would bless this time, that you would reveal to us the truth of your scripture in a way that affects and changes our lives for the better. We ask, Lord, that everything that is said here in your house be a blessing to you, and in Jesus' name, amen. You know, I was thinking the other day about the progression of parenthood from child to child. You know how when you have more than one child, things seem to change? You see, for the first-time parent, often what is done is you rush out and you buy the most expensive diapers, right? I mean, there's 100 on the shelf, and you pick out the one that's most expensive because in the mind of the first-time parent, that must be the best. The same goes for the wipes that you have to buy. Must get the most expensive because they must be the best. The highest tech bottles. Now, I was surprised to learn that bottles actually have technology built into them now. Things that maximize the flow and minimize the air and all kinds of things. But there are bottles out there that are so high tech, it takes an engineer to understand them. The first-time parent will sometimes run out and buy the most expensive, trendy, hypoallergenic clothing there is. But with the second child, things tend to change. And now as we move on to our third child, I've noticed things have changed a lot. Now, I do not buy diapers based on price, but capacity. How much can this thing hold before I either have to change it or will it last until my wife gets home? We buy wipes in bulk. Bottles are just run-of-the-mill, and we have learned that in a pinch, a wet paper towel can solve just about any problem you have. We've also figured out that clothing, no matter how trendy or fashionable or hypoallergenic it is, will be thrown up on, and it will be outgrown in a matter of weeks. A lot of things change. One thing does not change. And that is the parent's responsibility to provide the child a safe environment to grow up. No matter how many kids you have, that job is always there and it is always the same. To make sure that your kids have a safe environment. So we do things like blocking off staircases and making sure that our poisons and our cleaners are all secure. We make sure our outlets are covered because if your kids are like mine, they think they can start the house the way daddy starts the car, and before you know it, all the power goes out. A lot of things change. but that does not. These are all very necessary things. When we bought our new home and we moved in, we went ahead of the kids to make sure that these things were in place so that our kids were kept safe. Well, in verse 5 here of Psalm 23, we see that our Heavenly Father, our Good Shepherd, does the same thing. He goes ahead of us in life to make sure things are safe. He removes spiritual dangers and hazards. He barricades places that we might wander into that might harm us. And also that as we follow him, we can do it in safety. Isaiah 45 says, I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. In fact, one of the names of God found in the Bible is Jehovah Nissi, or God is my banner. And it gives us this idea of God going ahead of us, much like a banner goes ahead of a group of people leading the way, that our God leads the way in safety. And as we see in this verse here, verse 5 of Psalm 23, he does it in three specific ways. First of all, he removes the danger. He goes first. He goes ahead of you, and he takes away anything that might harm you and establishes certain boundaries to keep us away from things that are dangerous. Second, he removes distraction. You see, not only does God care about the big stuff, but he cares about the little stuff. And so he will protect us from anything that might pull our attention away. And finally, he removes disease, because those distractions in life can carry spiritual disease. And your shepherd is ready for that too. So from the words of the human shepherd David, we get the mind of the heavenly shepherd, the Lord. And he keeps us safe from all harm. Look at verse 5 of Psalm 23. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. You know, one thing shepherds would do before springtime, before the sheep set out to graze, was to go ahead of the flock and get the pasture ready. You see, oftentimes, wild flowers, wild plants would grow that would be very pretty. They would look good, but they would be deadly to the sheep. And so it was the shepherd's job to go ahead of the flock before springtime actually came and remove all of those dangerous plants so that the sheep did not accidentally eat them. Well, at the same time, he's removing these dangerous wildlife or this dangerous growth. He's barricading off rocks and cliffs and rivers and areas that the sheep might just wander into and be hurt. But more than that, he's seeding. He's laying down seed so that when they get there, they have plenty of nutritional things to eat, that everything they find will be helpful to their growth. And as David writes right here in Psalm 23:5, he prepares a table for the sheep. Well, the point he's making is that just like a human shepherd prepares a table for the sheep, goes ahead of the flock to protect the flock from physical danger, your heavenly shepherd has gone ahead of you to protect you from spiritual danger. Deuteronomy 31 says, "And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you." Which means if God has gone before you, and he has removed anything and everything that is harmful to you, then it must mean that whatever is left behind is there to help you. It's there to build you up. It's there to make you better. One author I read this week put it this way: God says he's already inspected every detail of our life and prepared every situation we will ever find ourselves in, just like the shepherd did for the sheep. That means whatever you go through in life, however hard, however challenging, however surprising, however discouraging, however unwieldy it may seem, is not designed to harm, but to help you. I remember when I was in high school, and we would sit through class, we knew at the end of the term came a test. And that test was the most stressful day for many, many of us. We just fretted that day. The test was coming. But you know what? After the test, the truth is we were all still okay. We walked out of the classroom just like we walked in, but we walked away with a better understanding of where we stood. We knew where we were. We knew what we had to work on. We knew what we knew. We had a better understanding of ourselves walking out of the test than when we walked in. Well, in your walk with the Lord, tests will come. But it's important to remember that it is not there to tear you down. It is there to build you up. James tells us in chapter 1, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, I know some people may sit there and say, well, that sounds good, but you have no idea what I've gone through. You haven't lived my life. You don't know what I struggle with. You don't know what I'm battling right now. Those are great words. It sounds good. It looks good on paper. But the truth is, you don't know what I'm dealing with. And the truth is, I might not. I may have no idea what's going on in your personal life. And even further than that, that's important. It matters. There's something about knowing the person giving you advice has actually been there. This week I read about an organization called Vets Helping Vets. And it's all about these combat veterans that have banded together to help other combat veterans coming home from war and their families deal with the post-traumatic stress of battle. And it works because the people offering the help are people that have been there. They've walked in those shoes. They've been the boots on the ground. They know what it's like to come under sudden enemy fire. And so when they speak into the lives of people who are dealing with it, there's a knowledge there that many people can't understand. I remember when Melissa and I suffered our first miscarriage. It was mid to late first trimester, and how comforting it was to finally talk to somebody who had been there before. It matters that the person offering the help understands. I may not understand. The truth is, I may not know what you are going through, but let me tell you, your shepherd does. He's been there. He's walked in your shoes. He gets it. He knows what it's like to battle temptation on every front. Hebrews 4 says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all ways tempted as we are. Why is that so important to understand? Well, it's because the one who is deciding what is harmful or helpful, the one who's making that call, removing things while leaving others behind, the one who's making that decision for you is one who's been there. He's done it before. He's walked in your shoes, as I say. He personally, experientially understands your struggle. That also means that he knows what you can handle and he knows what you can't. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, let no one say when he is, or God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. You see, as long as we follow him in the paths of righteousness that David describes, and we follow him to the table that he has prepared to be a safe haven for his children, then there is no danger. He's taken care of all of it. It also means that although things get tough, they're not impossible. God does not set you up to fail. He may test you, but he doesn't tempt you. James tells us, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Your God does not tempt you, but that doesn't mean he makes it easy. A lot of people don't get that. They think that once you become a believer, that God is supposed to somehow make life easy. I mean, it's easy street from here on in. I'm one of God's. There's nothing in life that's ever going to get me down again. Roll out the red carpet. Here I come. And the truth is, there are some who falsely teach that God will make life easy. And so for those who buy into it, when it doesn't happen, when they still struggle, when they still become ill, when life still gets at them, they become discouraged. They don't understand that removing danger is not the same as removing difficulty. Just because the shepherd prepares the way doesn't mean it's not full of rocks. Just because he goes ahead of the sheep and creates the table doesn't mean the flock doesn't have to climb the mountain. But as rough as it gets, they know that wherever that shepherd is leading is safe, and he will protect them from danger. When metal workers are tempering steel, they expose the metal to a very specific temperature. Now, I don't know what that is, but it's pretty hot. And they know that any more than that, and the metal will actually start to melt. It'll break down. It'll be ruined. Anything less than that, and nothing happens at all. But just the right temperature, just the right heat, not too much and not too little, and that steel becomes stronger and harder and able to withstand more than it ever could before. Your shepherd knows how much is too much, and he removes the danger. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He also removes distractions. You anoint my head with oil, David writes. My cup runs over. You know, one of the biggest nuisances for sheep as they're grazing in the table the shepherd has prepared are actually insects, you know, flying bugs, those flies and mosquitoes and different things that just kind of gather and swarm around the head of the sheep. Some of them will actually lay eggs and nest inside the nose of the sheep. And so to try and relieve this discomfort, they'll rub their head on the ground or on the rocks or even on each other. Anything they can do to relieve the discomfort. We're going into summertime, and inevitably we're going to deal with mosquitoes. And if you know what it's like to be bit by a mosquito and how irritating that is, you have some idea of what this sheep is going through. They'll do anything to relieve that. So to help with that, the shepherd comes along. And he actually creates this homemade concoction. It's a mixture of things like linseed oil and tar and sulfur and herbs and spices that smell bad. And the idea is it smells so terrible that when it's put onto the head of the sheep, the bugs will leave it alone. It's like off for sheep. And it works really well, but it doesn't last long. It has to be reapplied every single day. But as long as the sheep keep coming to the shepherd, it was so interesting, and he keeps reapplying that oil, those bugs, those distractions won't get to it. The same is true for believers. We have this beautiful table that the Lord has prepared, free of all danger. But for us to enjoy it, we need to be free of distractions. We can't have things pulling us away all the time. You know what I'm talking about, the little things in life. TV, sports, work, shopping, clubs, meetings, this activity, that activity. None of it is inherently bad, but any one of those things, when it pulls us from the Lord, becomes a distraction in the believer's life. The other day I sat down to do some homework for school, and I opened up my computer, and I was going to log on to the school's website, and so I opened up the web browser, and I typed in the website, but then something very curious happened. At the bottom right of the screen, a little thing popped up that said, "Man builds working Captain America shield." And I thought, oh, I got to see that. So I clicked on it, and sure enough, this guy had built like a sleeve with electromagnets on it. And when he threw this Captain America shield, the magnets turned on and it came right back to him. It was just like in the movies. I thought, that was pretty cool. But then after that was another video. And this one was a cat driving a scooter. And I thought, well, I've got to see that too. I've never seen a cat drive a scooter. So I watched it. Sure enough, this cat had been trained to drive a scooter. And then after that, there was one of a whale. And this whale was a blue whale, surprised everybody by coming up right next to a fishing dock and just kind of eating all the fish in the area. Well, then I thought, boy, you know, I'm thirsty. And so I got up and I went and got a drink. I came back. I sat down. You know, by the time I started my homework, a half an hour had passed. I had nothing to show for any of that time. Maybe you're walking with the Lord and something catches your eye and you glance. But after a while, that glance turns into a gaze. And the gaze lasts for minutes or hours or days. Or sometimes years can go by that we are distracted from the Lord. Well, the solution for the distraction in the life of a believer is the same as the solution for the distraction in the life of a sheep. We need our shepherd's anointing. We need him to protect us from those bugs, from those things that cause us to move our eye, those things that wedge themselves between us and our shepherd. We need him to protect us, and we need to pray to him to do it. And what's more is we need to do it daily. 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes, pray without ceasing. He says in Colossians 4, continue earnestly in prayer. Or you can listen to what David, the human shepherd, our author here, says himself in Psalm 68. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden. When distractions and life show up, you have a shepherd that can protect you. He also protects you from disease. Look back at our verse. You anoint my head with oil. You know, sometimes those distractions carry disease, and they can infect us. You know, for the sheep, oftentimes they can become infected by a microbe causing a disease known as scab. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It was pretty awful to read about, but basically scab causes the hair of the sheep to all fall out, and the skin remaining literally scabs over. It's dry, it itches, it's uncomfortable, and so what do? They rub their heads on rocks, on trees, on the ground, even on each other. Well, the thing about scab is it's spread by contact. So as this sheep is trying to relieve the discomfort by rubbing his head on another sheep, he's actually spreading it through the whole flock. But the most interesting thing for me was knowing, or learning, I should say, that the same solution for the bugs applied for the scab. It was the exact same oil concoction that the shepherd creates, because once it was applied to the infected area, it started to recover. Well, the world's a lot like that too. Things pull us away, and they can infect us with spiritual disease. James tells us in James 1, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. Think of David for a minute. On the roof of his house, he was supposed to be out fighting a battle with his army, but he stayed home, and he went up to the roof of his house. And in the middle of the nighttime air, he looks out across the city and down into the window of the beautiful Bathsheba who's bathing. And he accidentally sees her in that condition. That was the glance. But then deliberately, he turns it into a gaze, and he infects himself with the disease of lust. That lust will lead to an affair that will produce a child. To cover it up, he has the husband murdered, and God takes the child in death. You see, once we see it, we can't unsee it. Once we hear it, we can't unhear it. Once it goes in, it doesn't come out again, at least not in the way we oftentimes would want, which is why it's so important to be careful what you let influence you. It's kind of like that famous children's song, "Careful little eyes, what you see." There's a lot of truth in that. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, evil company corrupts good habits. But even being careful in life, controlling what we let influence us, discerning what we watch and what we see and what we're around, we can still pick up something by accident. And the solution is the same as with the distraction. We pray for our shepherd's help. We pray for our great physician to help. Romans 12 says, continuing steadfastly in prayer. We pray for his anointing to protect us from these spiritual diseases. You see, the world is hostile to the life of a believer. And like sheep, we need the protection of our good shepherd. We need him to keep us from harm. We need him to go ahead of us and remove the danger so that where we're traveling we know is safe. We need him to protect us from things that might draw our eye away, and we need him to prevent the disease that can infect our hearts. You have a shepherd that does all of that. David says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much that you work in our lives, that you work to protect us, to lead us, to guide us, that you prepare the way. We thank you, Lord, that we know that way is safe. We understand that it's not always easy. Jesus even told us that the path is not going to be easy, that the gate will be narrow. We know that going in. He told us in Matthew 5 to feel blessed when we face persecution. We know it's going to happen, but we know, Lord, that you are at work. And as hard as it may get, it can't pull us from you. It's not dangerous in that aspect. We thank you, Lord, for going ahead of us and making the way safe. We thank you for your anointing to keep us on track and to keep us from falling ill to the infections of the world. I ask, Lord, that for those here, those within the sound of my voice, that they would remember that they would pray to you daily for your protection, that they would pray to you to make their way straight. We thank you, Lord, that you do work in such a marvelous and miraculous way in our lives. And we ask that as we go from here, that you would make us ambassadors for you with that message, that you can be that shepherd to any who would trust you. Jesus told us in John that you gave your only son that whoever believes might have eternal life. And so we know, Lord, that that protection is available to all. We ask that you would give us the burden to give them the message so that they could enjoy the benefits of you being their guide. We ask, Father, that you would bless the rest of our time together. We ask, Lord, that you would protect us as we go from here. We thank you again for the blessing of this nation where we can gather and preach and fellowship and go freely from here, sharing the good news of you in Jesus' name. Amen.